Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And Steve on with me today. Just a couple of homeschooling dads chronicling the slow but steady decline of the Western world. I'm just completing a book called The Rise and Fall of the West. As we have been chronicling this most interesting development in human history for 16, 17 years of this broadcast. And yet I am shocked at points. You know, now I know that, you know, Jesus is in control of all of this. Just the fall of the West. I mean, get over it. You know, it's the fall of the West. But you know, he's still on the right hand of the Father. And his kingdom is all over the world. The diaspora, that is the spreading of the faith, has happened to every tribe and nation the last 100 years. That's all good. So it's just the interesting thing is we live in the West. And so we're watching the large pieces of the towers coming down and crashing to the ground. Not just the statues, but the towers themselves are coming down now. But Steve, I have to say I was shocked. I was reading this Republican response to the Supreme Court decision that ruled on extending Civil Rights Act protection to homosexuals and transvestites. So I read the Republican response to this. I guess I was just shocked. I must be living in a cave or something. But I hear this and I'm like, what? What did they say? With all of this Republican support for the persecution of Christians and the glorification of homosexuality, just, I guess I'm just, maybe I'm still living in the dark ages, meaning I, you know, 20 years ago. But I'm just shocked. Politico points out that the Republican Party was generally supportive of this Supreme Court ruling that is forcing Christians to hire and fire homosexuals, or not to fire homosexuals, but to control Christian ministries and businesses, funeral homes, photography businesses, the baker, the butler, and the candlestick maker, all of them, controlled by this Supreme Court decision. Of course, ministries as well, schools affected. We'll get to that in just a moment. But here's the response on probably the most significant issue in all of the Western world, the thing that brings God's judgment down upon entire nations, empires, Sodom and Gomorrah and the rest. It's hard to imagine it could be that much worse than Roe v. Wade or Lawrence v. Texas, but wow, this one persecutes Christians. This is the one that brings Nero back. This is the one that brings persecution back to the modern world. Wake up, Christians. Wake up and wake up. This is the worst possible decision that you can get out of the Supreme Court of the United States. The Republicans are thumbs up on it. Another article quoted Senators John Cornyn and John Thune and Lindsey Graham. They're okay with the decision. They're not fighting the decision. It's a fine decision. We're all going to live with it. This is fine. This is fine. Persecute Christian businesses, reward homosexuals and transvestites. That's the official position of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And it was, what, a 6-3 decision? Again, a number of Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices affirming it, and Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, the appointee of Donald Trump himself, writing the decision. This is scary stuff. This is scary stuff. This is the point at which you need to go purchase a sign from, I guess, any sign shop at this point. Just go to any sign shop and ask for a sign, RIP. And put it on the United States of America. Put it on Washington, D.C. Rest in peace. It's over. The Neanderthals on the Supreme Court, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, limped up to the podium to explain it once more. Pigs don't have wings and other beautiful things. But what can we say? Justice Samuel Alito wrote in the Minority Report, the court's decision may lead to Title IX cases against any college that resists assigning students of the opposite biological sex as roommates as well. And that's Christian colleges, too. So I hope the Christian colleges are sitting up and paying attention, especially those of the CCCU variety that already endorsed the Utah Compromise and the persecution of Christians, Christian businesses especially, for the cause of whatever. Alito also suggested this decision could impact hiring practices for private schools, churches, synagogues, mosques, and other religious institutions, his words. Also, Alito said in the minority opinion, transgender employees have brought suit under Title VII to challenge employer-provided health insurance plans that do not cover costly sex reassignment surgeries. The court's decision may even affect the way employers address their employees and the way teachers and school officials address students in the use of preferred personal pronouns. So Christian businesses, Christian ministries, Christian funeral homes, Christian schools, Christian colleges, universities, I hope you're ready for this. We are going to talk about the Benedict option next. Is the Benedict option the only option left for us? Kudos to Kevin DeYoung. Good article here in the Gospel Coalition. I want to address that next on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us. Hello, dads. Come this August, it'll be about time to get out of the house and up into the clear mountain air of the Colorado Rockies with your sons. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together, and what would be better than to spend the time in the Word in the mountains along with some good fellowship with a couple of hundred brothers in Christ from around the country. Guys, let's get our sons out of the house and back into God's grand creation. We'll turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships. And fill up your tank with some faith talks, encouragement for the battle, and a refocus on the centrality of God. This year, we're bringing Mike Snavely back, our best creationist speaker for fathers and sons. Bill Roach and yours truly also bringing some talks. Come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 27th to the 30th. The price is only $229 for dads and $139 for sons right now. That includes all meals and board. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure, including a rifle shooting range, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball court, world-class recreation center, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. For more information, check out ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Also, Steve Vaughn with you today. He's a homeschool father of six. I'm a homeschool father of five.
Oh, no. I still have two left. By now. I've graduated four. One is about a year and a half out, and I've got one that's 14 still, so I've still got about 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Praise God. And I've got
two
grandkids that we got to start homeschooling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're on the way. They're within weeks. You know, at this point, we're just sort of hollering into the womb and trying to get the message across. But yeah, grandparents now. So, you know, on to the fourth generation of homeschoolers in my family, beginning with my parents homeschooling us and then us homeschooling our five children and then off to the next generation of homeschoolers. So lots of good things happening in the Swanson clan. We're very thankful. God has been good to us. But Christians are increasingly taking the Benedict option. They're going underground. And Kevin DeYoung has this great article in the Gospel Coalition, just came out, and he's got an interesting strategy. I say kudos to Kevin DeYoung. I'm thankful for Kevin DeYoung. You know, occasionally you get a voice that just kind of surfaces beyond all of the panic and the cultural surrender and the confusion, the concessions and the denominational explosions going on with our Christian brothers and sisters. We have occasionally a breath of fresh air. This is what I get from Kevin DeYoung this morning. Thankful for Kevin DeYoung showing up on the Gospel Coalition with a word of sanity. You know, he sort of endorses Rod Dreher's Benedict option, this article, which we've been advocating for 30 years now. We've been talking about the Islands of Freedom as well, the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries, the opting out of the homosexualization of your children by homeschooling them and discipling them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and transmitting the whole concept of education back into a Christian discipleship model. So we've been talking that for, what, 30 years now. That's really the commitment of Christian Home Educators of Colorado, and they've been around for some, I don't know, closer to 35 years at this point. And we have been pushing the Islands of Freedom, the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries, talking Samaritan.org, in order to not fund all the abortions and the abortifacients and all the rest. So there have been amazing options, amazing alternatives presented by God's providence. And so, you know, we don't have to be crashing down with all the rest of it. But this Gospel Coalition article is pretty amazing. Let me read a piece of this, Steve. He said, it's been a year of bad news for conservative Christians. The Supreme Court brought more bad news on Monday. In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court ruled the legal definition of sex includes sexual orientation and gender identity. They had to bend the rule somewhat on Title VII to make it work. You know, they had to get a sledgehammer out to make it work. That's his point. Princeton's Robert George says the eventual destruction of all women's sports will come out of Bostock versus Clayton County, the Supreme Court decision. Without explicit legal protections, religious institutions with traditional convictions about homosexuality and transgenderism will likely face a torrent of litigation in the years to come. To add insult to injury, for many conservatives, the majority opinion written by Neil Gorsuch, Trump's celebrated SCOTUS appointee, the prospect of Gorsuch-type justice was the reason many Christians voted for Trump. So, disappointing moment. And he says the Republicans are lining up to talk about how wonderful this legislation is that persecutes Christians and rewards Nero and all his friends. So, now, this is the point of Kevin DeYoung's article, which is very, very good, by the way. Some people take Rod Dreher's Benedict option to mean a wholesale retreat from the public square. That's not the way of faithfulness. We must continue to make the case for Christian convictions and continue to be involved in politics and higher education, media, whatever else we can be a faithful presence. I call it a full court press. But retreat is not really the point of the Benedict option. Dreher's point has always been that we must commit ourselves to strengthening alternative institutions, investing in countercultural church communities, and catechizing our own children. Let me underscore the last item, catechizing our own children. I'm grateful for serious Christians involved in the political arena, etc. Here's a culture war strategy. Now, this is the point of the article, friends. Here is Kevin DeYoung, Gospel Coalition. This is what he says. Here's a culture war strategy conservative Christians should get behind.
I'm ready.
You ready for this, Steve? Have more children and disciple them
amen.
Like crazy. To which we say, yeah, amen. What he said.
Yeah.
There you go.
So,
there's
so
a strategy,
hang out,
Steve.
And outnumber them. You know, if we're having 8-10 kids each, eventually we will outnumber them and we can take over. You take over your way, I'll take over mine.
Yeah, that was the old Mike Ferris line. You take over the world your way, I'll take over the world my way. Yeah. Not that. It's all about taking over the world politically or what have you. It's about being faithful. It's about finding a nation to disciple. We're to disciple the nations, not sit around twiddling our thumbs. Right? I mean, we got a commission here. Jesus gave us a commission. He left the world and said, okay, guys, disciple the nations by baptizing your nation and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Okay, got it. So, you know, and we got to start with a nation. Okay, you start with your own nation. If you have 6 kids, great. You've got 5, that's good. If you've got 14, that's even better in some respects. So you got, you know, this is a great opportunity. Now, he says, you got to recognize that children are always lauded as a blessing in the Bible. You agree with that, Steve?
I definitely agree with that. Yeah. Just, I wish I would have had even more, but the 6 God gave me are just wonderful. And it is. I mean, I've seen my life just in every way get better and better with each child.
My wife was at the grocery store, 5 children in tow. This would have been, you know, 15 years ago, whatever. 5 children in tow at the grocery store. The woman says, are all those yours? To which Brenda says, yes, 5 blessings. And the woman replies, I've got 2. You want them?
Wow.
Well, it turned out we didn't disciple or adopt our children. But that's the world's mentality. And it's a horrible mentality, just a horrible mentality that has been impressed upon their minds by the zeitgeist for at least 80 years. When was Margaret Sanger around? It was like 1920.
Something like
it?
That, yeah.
Okay, make it 100 years. I guess it's been 100 years now. For 100 years, this message has been pounded into the craws of many Christian churches. Now, it's interesting also, he says, maybe on another occasion, this is back to Kevin DeYoung. Kudos to Kevin DeYoung. Did I say that yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Kevin DeYoung here, he says, maybe on another occasion, I'll write about the triumph of birth control in the 20th century, how it happened with little theological reflection from the church. But let me at least nudge you in the direction of John Frame, who, by the way, has been a guest on this program 2 or 3 times. I like John Frame. He's one of the more balanced theology guys in our generation. I can't think of a better guy than John Frame in terms of being that theological, careful thinker. And I'm thankful for John Frame. In fact, I put my book Apostate past him one time because I wanted to be sure that somebody who was thoughtful, somebody who knew his philosophy and knew his theology well, looked over my book. And Professor Frame gave me the thumbs up and he gave me encouraging word. But here's what John Frame said, and this is quoted in Kevin DeYoung's article. Listen, friends, John Frame, it seems to me that birth control is permissible in many situations, but it bears a high burden of proof. It can be a responsible choice, but is probably overused. Now, of course, maybe that's not quite as edgy as what we would say. But friends, it's hard to break the silence in the church today on birth control. I'm applauding Kevin DeYoung and John Frame for saying, you know, we'll put the brakes on. This is what John MacArthur and I think Al Mohler also said after Obergefell. Remember, after Obergefell, they both wrote articles in which they put the brakes on birth control. Said, you know what, this sex without procreation business that's been going on for the last 50 years of American history has given birth to sex without procreation.
Yes.
And marriage without procreation. Homosexual marriage. John MacArthur and Al Mohler that put the brakes on it. Friends, people are waking up. There is a segment of Christianity that has not gone over the deep end. So I'm thankful that John Frame and Kevin DeYoung said, ease off on the abortifacients. Ease off on homosexuality light, sex without the possibility of procreation. Ease off on the IUD. Now, they didn't say that, but I'm adding that. Ease off on the IUD. It's 100% abortifacient during fertility. It kills 6 million babies a year in America because its incidence, its use has been up. It's a high-efficiency form, so its use has been up quite a bit since the 1990s. And so now the IUD itself is killing 6 million babies a year in America, per the Stanford study done back in 2003. So now Americans are killing 6 million babies by the IUD. And I don't know how many evangelicals are killing babies. I don't know the number for that. But Kevin DeYoung is saying, hey, let's rebel against the status quo, guys. Do you want people to ask you for a reason for the hope that's in you? Tote your brood of children through Target. Almost nothing more countercultural than having more children. And once we have these children, there's almost nothing more important than catechizing them in the faith, developing their moral framework, preparing them to be deeply compassionate lovers of God, lovers of people, and relentlessly biblical lovers of truth and so forth. So, you know, praise the Lord. The future belongs to the fecund. It's time for happy warriors who seek to renew the city and win the culture war by investing in their local church, focusing on the family, and bringing the kingdom to bear on the world one baby at a time. To which we say,
amen. Yeah, hearty amen.
You know what's interesting, Steve? As we wrap up the program, I was just curious, as I am often curious. For a second, what are the denominations doing baby-wise? And so I look at our church, you know, 160 children, 70 adults. But I wanted to look at denominational stats. Now, turns out I got denominational stats for Presbyterian churches. Sadly, Baptist churches didn't have stats on children. They don't keep track of their children. The children aren't members of the church. They're not counted. But in Presbyterian churches, the children are counted. So I was able to pull off stats on kids. Interesting, Steve?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I'm like, dude, what's happening in the churches, you know? So I go online. It's very easy to get a hold of the stats. Everybody publishes their stats. And I can give you the PC USA. You want to know what the birth rate in PC USA churches per adult member is?
I'm guessing it's low.
0.8%.
Yep. Wow.
0.8% per year per adult member. It's 0.8%.
Wow.
Okay? That's the PC USA, which would be on the lefty end of the Presbyterian community. All right. The PCA, which would be more in the center. Wouldn't you say they're more kind of in the center of American denominational ecclesiology? The PCA is at 1.9% child birth rate per year per adult member. And that's more than PCUSA, which at what? 0.8%. So PCUSA is at 0.8%. PCA was at 1.9%. The OPC, that's the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, just slightly lower than the PCA. 1.8% child birth rate per year per adult member. And our church, Steve, you want to know our churches? PCUSA is 0.8%.
You've got to be probably in the 4 or 5.
No, it's 8.6%.
How much?
8.6%.
Wow.
Per year, per adult member. All right, so PCUSA at 0.8%, PCA 1.9%, OPC 1.8%, and our church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, 8.6% child birth rate per year per adult member, and my daughter is contributing to that.
Amen.
This year, by the grace of God. And we need to say it's by the grace of God.
Yes.
We have to say it is the blessing of God. We have to say it's not us. Zero us, 100% God in the blessing of children that God has poured out upon our congregation for a long time. The adult or children to adult ratio of the PCA is 26%. So you take the non-communicants, divide it by the communicants in the PCA, but that's fancy language for kids per adult ratio. And what you get is 26% in the PCA. The OPC is 34%. Our little church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, kids to adult ratio, 229%.
That is great.
So, friends, what can I say? Your worldview, your basic faith commitment is going to be reflected in life, in life. How do we perceive the gift of God? How do we perceive the goodness of God? How do we perceive life? How do we perceive the current situation in the world around us? We live in an age where people hate children. You understand that? People hate children. They kill 7 to 10 million kids a year by abortifacients and abortion. That doesn't sound like loving kids to me. Killing 7 million children a year in a nation is not loving children. If that isn't a prima facie maxim, I don't know what is. So what are we saying? Let's not buy into the zeitgeist. It's all about me, a life of personal peace and affluence. Now, what Kevin DeYoung is saying is, friends, let's seek the heart of God in this. Let's seek the heart of the kingdom of God. What does God want us to do here? He wants us to disciple the nations. He's given us an opportunity to love our neighbor. And the first neighbor is the neighbor in the womb, not to be killed by the IUD. Not to be killed by your birth control pills. Not to be killed by surgical abortions. Let's love Jesus. Let's love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let's love His children. And let's disciple our children as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. What we need is a kingdom passion, a passion for God, a passion for His church, a passion for the little brothers and sisters that are come through the womb. Let's love His gifts. Let's love the ones He gives to us. And let's be grateful. Well, that's it. That's it. And all of that summarized my little book, Family and Life. By the way, I deal with birth control. I've got probably half a chapter on birth control in this little book called Family Life, A Simple Guide to the Biblical Family. And I think it's time for a family reformation, a biblical reformation in the area of family life. Friends, this is probably where it's going to begin. A reformation, an awakening, a revival is going to happen. It's going to happen in family discipleship. It's going to happen in the obliteration of birth control and the embracing of God's gifts and the discipleship of our little nations during the age of the Benedict option. I'd encourage you to my book, The Family Life, A Simple Guide to the Biblical Family, available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Arnold. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.